Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Scumbags Movie Podcast. I'm Seth.
I'm Nick. And we haven't changed a bit.
Good God.
No audible dialogue. It'll be all sounds throughout the whole episode.
Welcome to Slacker Media ASMR.
Ooh. I could feel that one go down the back of my spine.
Now I'm tingling the can of sparkling water, putting my lips up to it.
I'm tickling the tip of my penis right now.
Oh, shit, man. How's it going?
Oh, shitty.
Why?
Oh, pandemic. Dead family members, just life.
You know what would cheer you up?
Wish I was here?
No, Garden State, the other Zach Braff movie.
The other Zach Braff movie about a dying family member.
Yeah, the other Zach Braff film where one of his parents is dying or dead. It's a good one.
I might watch that tonight.
You should, buddy. You should.
I've been thinking about it for a while, actually, before you even mentioned it, so...
Wow.
Perhaps.
What's on the old agenda for this show? We're doing best war films?
Oh, long time coming. I know it's kind of the joke around these parts that I only watch war films. So we thought it was only right to talk about the best war films of all time.
Nick wanted me to compile a list of top five war films, but I think I've only seen five, so
couldn't
even
be
much of a list.
Couldn't even be bothered.
Nope, wouldn't be much of a list. Not my favorite genre, but we're doing it for you.
Well, I'm glad you are. I could talk about war films for 2 minutes, maybe.
You know, there's a lot of gunfights and a couple people die.
Oh, that's, look.
That's it.
They won again.
Yeah.
We all know how World War II ends.
Wow. What a genre. What a gender.
Yeah, so it's a weird time nowadays. There's not really much to talk about news-wise. The only thing that seems to be happening are people dying.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, we got a few deaths in the family recently. The first one that happened, we had Ian Holm.
Frodo, or Bilbo. Dilbo.
Dildo Baggins.
Dildo Baggins.
Dildo Baggins, he was an alien. I mean, he had Garden State, which is strange. He had 137 credits. He was also in Ratatouille, which I think is, you know, a great Disney film.
Never seen it.
It's a good one. I like movies about cooking.
Oh, Chef, Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
Yeah, those are probably two of the best ones.
Babette's Feast.
Ugh.
That's a grandma movie.
The Big Night. My Dinner with Andre.
Oh, My Dinner with Andre.
We're just going to sit here and eat food the whole time.
What a film. Don't you just get lost in their dialogue?
I was buried alive, and I sat down with my wife, and we had a deep discussion about life. What is the mortality?
Inconceivable.
I was wondering what that noise was.
What a film. Nothing like two boys having dinner and talking about things.
Well, nothing like two boys talking about nothing.
It's not nothing.
What do they talk about?
Life?
Okay, any dummy could say that.
Look, all I know is every time I watch that movie, I just kind of get hypnotized almost, and the next thing I know, it's over.
Because you fell asleep?
Anytime I watch that movie, I take an hour and a half nap, and I wake up, and there's only 10 minutes of the film left.
Oh, man, it is a great film.
It is.
But yeah, rest in peace, Ian. Hadn't done a film since 2014, which was the Hobbit films. So,
damn,
they killed him. Next up, I think your favorite director to ever grace the big screen, Joel Schumacher.
He's made some good stuff.
Falling Down?
Not my favorite, but it's okay.
Oh, you probably like The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys is one of my favorite films of all time. It's a phenomenal movie.
Keyword, boys.
Yeah, well, Joel was into boys.
Well, something you have in common. Did you like St. Elmo's Fire?
No.
Me neither. I thought it was kind of a blatant John Hughes ripoff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let me take all these people that were in The Breakfast Club and we'll try to recreate it. And it just didn't work.
Well, I think we can agree that his best film was Batman and Robin.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, was that, were you being sarcastic?
Yeah, I was. It's
I like that
bad.
Movie, but The Lost Boys, to me, is his finest effort.
Yeah, I mean, it's like trying to pick through a pile of shit to find the best-tasting piece of corn.
No, I don't know about that. People like Phone Booth.
Who?
People.
I guess he has done a lot more than I thought. That yeah. That 8mm always looked pretty good.
Yeah,
until you see that Nicolas Cage is in it.
Ugh.
And then, yeah, he didn't do a film since
2011, Trespass.
And he did a couple episodes of House of Cards.
Yeah, look, it's not a great filmography, but it's certainly not the worst.
Uwe Boll?
Christopher Nolan?
I think there's a I think even you can say that there's a difference.
Well, I like a lot more Joel Schumacher films than I do Nolan films.
Well, you're just a
what am I?
Fucking idiot. You're just a contrarian.
Let's see, Joel's better than Nolan, he's better than
Edgar
Malick.
White.
He's, he's definitely better than him. Better than Lynch, you know.
Well, Lynch, perhaps, yeah.
Fucking trash, bro. I'm sorry, if you're out there listening, I know everyone loves David Lynch. I've said this before, the guy sucks. And that's the truth.
You don't know film if it hits you in the cock.
Eraserhead. Somebody explain the plot of that to me. I'd love to hear it.
It's about fatherhood.
Wow. You know what else is? Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, and one's easy enough for your pea brain to understand.
Oh, I don't want to talk about these guys. What else are we? What other topics do we have?
Well, we did have one who is known for quality. We had Ennio Morricone. Masterful composer. I mean, he's done some of the biggest films, maybe.
Alfredo. Well,
I would say biggest in like the foreign genre. I mean, he did the Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. The Thing. He did The Thing.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Once Upon a Time in America. The Untouchables. Probably one of the best, well, at least my favorite, Cinema Paradiso.
Oh my god.
The Hateful Eight, where he like kind of came out of retirement to do for Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, so Ennio, I mean, shit, the song that plays in Cinema Paradiso when he finally gets to see the kissing scenes.
Oh my god.
Truly majestic.
So good.
I really need to go back and watch it. I almost went and watched it yesterday, but I 3 hours was a little too much to ask for.
Well, what is that, the director's cut?
Yeah, which I think is the preferable cut.
I don't know if I've watched that.
Yeah. I think it really just adds more to his relationship with the girl that he's in love with. So I think it kind of brings it together in a better way than...
What a film if you're a cinephile or a pedophile.
And just think, it came from First Time Watch, the defunct series.
It did. That's the only good thing that came out of that.
No. M? You like Walkabout?
Fuck, you're right.
I can't remember stuff.
I don't want to commit 2 hours every 2 weeks to watching some fucking movie I don't care about.
Well, then why'd we pick them? That was the point, was to pick a movie we all wanted to watch.
And I did. And I picked Walkabout, and everyone bitched about it.
Well, you know, sometimes...
All these guys that jerk off to cinematography. I pick a film with good cinematography. It sucks.
Sometimes it makes no you get sense. What's coming to you. Maybe if you just shut up and be positive once in a while.
Oh, we love cinematography. We had Matt on here. Oh, I'm an aspiring cinematographer. I love nice shots. I pick a movie with nice shots. It sucks.
It doesn't suck. It just, you know, wasn't my favorite thing. I'm sure if I watched it again, before you get all huffy and puffy, if I watched it again, it'd probably be good.
You like Nick Rogue?
I do. Don't Look Now is great.
Yeah.
What was the other one he did?
Shit, The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Ooh, that one's really good.
I love that movie. That's one of those good, we were talking about earlier, good depressing endings or endings that are kind of a downer.
Oh, that one. Oh, shit, I forgot he did Bad Timing with Art Garfunkel.
Oh, shit, I prefer Art LaFleur.
Yeah, well, you would. Hate that movie about baseball stuff. I will enjoy that stuff. Ooh, pardon me.
All right, we'll rip to the composer.
Rip to... What's his name?
Ennio?
Ennio Morricone. Well, here's something that your brain can get behind. A new documentary conceived by David Byrne explores the wonder of the color guard.
Oh, my God.
The dazzling...
The new David Byrne film?
The dazzling offshoot of the marching band gets its moment in the spotlight.
Sounds boring. When I saw the outline for this, I thought it was going to be a documentary about
David I thought Byrne. So, too. I'm looking at it now, and it says it's conceived, so he just fucked it?
Oh, God. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
You can make a doc about the marching band. It still sucks.
Burning down the house.
What? Oh, Once in a Lifetime. He's done some good songs. He's done okay. Done okay for himself.
Stop making Sense is a great film.
Yeah, Stop Making Sense is good. It's good. Well,
it's good.
You like Mel?
Mel Brooks?
Mel Ott?
Yeah, Gil Hodges.
Oh, is that who he plays?
No, what are we talking about here?
Oh, well, we talked about this last week or whatever. Mel Gibson?
Oh, Mel Gibson.
What? How many other popular Mels are there?
Mel Ott, that's the baseball player.
I know, but I didn't...
So that I hit you with the quote from Field of Dreams where Frank Whaley's like, Smokey Joe Wood, Mel Ott, Gil Hodges.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I guess I don't know the film as well as I should.
Fucking loser.
Well, here's a quote that is even better than that one. So Winona Ryder accuses Mel Gibson of making comments that category, and I repeat... What? That's the name. That's the title of the article.
What is it?
Winona Ryder accuses Mel Gibson of making comments that category, and I repeat, and then it ends.
Well, the story is, regardless of that article, what did he say to her? Some comment that she was offended by like 25 years ago?
Okay, well, this is what... There were a few comments. So the first one, it says, we were at a party full of people with one of my good friends. Honey, I was smoking a cigarette while when all of a sudden I said to my friend who is gay, wait, and then I'm going to get HIV/AIDS? And that's what Mel Gibson said. After that, the conversation touched on anything related to the Jews, and he said to me, you have not walked... What the fuck is this?
What are you, have a stroke or what?
No,
what is going
this,
on here?
This, the quote in this is ridiculously...
Well, fuck, you're fucking reading like a translated article or something.
Yeah, okay. So basically, Mel Gibson walked into...
Fuck. Like you're talking out of order or something weird.
Yeah, that was, it was weird. Basically, what he said was to her gay friend, oh, wait, am I going to get AIDS? And then came up...
Okay.
And then something came up about Jews, and he said, you're not an oven dodger, are you?
Look. That's pretty funny. And like, I mean, you should never say that to somebody, but in like a joking way,
in the
like as a joke, that's kind of funny.
The right company,
Right, but you shouldn't say that. So, and I'm sure he did say that, but why the fuck is Winona Ryder feeling the need to bring this up all this time later? Shouldn't she be doing a press junket about fucking Stranger Things or something?
Well,
she have nothing else to talk about?
Well, she's stolen all the bras from Victoria's Secret, so...
My God, she's a thief.
Well, it says around 1996, so she's had her time to...
Can we get off fucking Mel Gibson already? I mean, the guy took a lot of shit. He said horrible things. He's done some horrible things. You know, what the fuck?
I mean, yeah, right. How many times do we have... We know. We know he's done terrible things and he said terrible things. But I don't really understand the unprovoked nature of bringing it up. And I don't know, maybe we're picking the wrong side in this situation, but...
I'm sure we are. I'm sure... A majority of people would think, wow, these guys are fucking insensitive and laughing at a oven dodger comment. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say to somebody, but...
Who is Jewish. Jesus Christ. You know, but...
Right.
But I don't... We know what kind of person Mel is, and it's not like it's something that he said a week ago. Something nasty he said 30 years ago, and, you know, let's...
Just nothing else to talk about. It's that fucking cancel culture bullshit, you know?
Yeah, it's...
Like, haven't we hit Mel Gibson enough? You know, the guy's paid his dues. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's just something...
I'm a big fan. Love Mel. Mel rules.
Well, I am too. Might see him coming up in a list soon a couple times.
Oh.
So...
Well, what we really want to see him coming up in is...
Your butt.
Lethal Weapon 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lethal Weapon 5. Directed by...
Too old for this shit.
Directed by who? Who would get you excited?
Dick Donner.
True. But he's 90.
Well, he's got some shit left in him. Let's go. One more. One more swan song.
Come on, Dick. Do it for Seth.
Come on, Dick.
Do it for a guy you never met before.
Let's go, Dick.
Well,
fuck, I didn't realize he was 90 years old. Holy shit.
Yeah, he was in that Josh Gad Goonies video and... Couldn't figure out his technology. I think it was his 90th birthday during that video.
Man.
Sounded good, though. He might still have one more left in him.
Oh, he's... Is he attached to that?
The Goonies?
No, to Lethal Weapon 5.
Is he? Are you looking it up?
Yeah, let me look real quick. Live fact check.
We should do more of those.
They don't know yet.
Danny Glover talks about plot, so it's up in the air.
We're trying to make the last Lethal Weapon movie, and director Donner's coming back. It looks like he's coming back.
What?
If they can get him and get it rolling.
Well, I've only ever seen the first one, and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I like Lethal Weapon. It's not like... That genre is... Nothing in that genre is, like, amazing, I don't think.
Well, but... nothing in that genre really works well in... The 2020s.
Right.
Like, it worked well in its time.
Like, if people saw a Lethal Weapon 5 trailer, like, I feel like that wouldn't make any money.
No, probably not. Especially, you know, if Mel's in it and it were to come out now.
Well, whatever. I'd watch.
I'd watch, too. Danny Glover's great.
Come on, Richard Donner, let's end with Lethal Weapon 5 and then Goonies 2.
Danny Glover's best film is Angels in the Outfield.
I prefer Gone Fishing.
I came here to manage a winning baseball team.
What a piece of shit that movie is.
It's not a piece of shit.
It's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good. There are parts that are good, but it's a bad film.
No, it's not. It's a good film with bad parts.
It's a bad film with good parts.
You're stupid. I hate you.
When are we going to be a family again?
That's great. Haven't you ever not felt loved by your father?
No, my dad's never rode off on a motorcycle and told me that he's not going to be my dad until the Yankees win the pennant.
Well, that wasn't too hard because they won plenty.
Oh, what a shitty thing to say.
Yeah, well, he's a scumbag. You know, it's teaching you about the real world. There's a lot of shitty people out there.
Well, it's a good Brenda Fricker performance.
Yeah. And
Brenda Fricker.
You don't get a little twinkle in your eye whenever...
No.
He's coming up soon.
That's the best part of the movie, but no, it doesn't give me a twinkle in my eye.
You don't feel something when George Knox walks out to the mound and they start waving their arms like angels?
Yeah, I feel tired at that point because the movie's boring at that point. We're ready for it to end.
Shut your fucking mouth, you idiot.
I really like JP or Miguel.
See, how can you talk? You don't even know. You don't even know what it is.
Oh, really? All I know is I tried watching that a few years ago. I was thinking, man, I'm going to relive some childhood memories.
That score is really good, though.
I will give it that. The music is great.
Which then leads to that the movie is great, so...
We need to do a retrospective of, like, the shitty kids baseball movies.
Oh, God.
A shitty kids sports. How about Little Big League?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. I don't know who came up with that idea.
Well...
Oh, the owner of the Twins dies and leaves the team to his grandson, who's, like, 12.
That may be the most idiotic story I've ever heard. But, in its defense, I will say that perhaps he didn't expect to die and expected the grandson to be a lot older.
I guess.
But still, like, what if you do die at that age?
It's a ridiculous film, though, because there's like, all these shots of all, like, these, you know, disgruntled baseball players in the locker room after a loss, and this kid's, like, pumping them up. It's horrible.
Yeah, they tell the kid to fuck off.
Yeah, even Rookie of the Year is a shitty movie.
Oh, that one's bad. That one's way worse than Angels in the Outfield.
I mean, a good film. I like it. I like the movie, but, God, it's crummy. There's a lot of problems with it.
Yeah... Well, you mentioned kids' sports movies, Big Green.
Oh, putrid.
It reminds me of my rec soccer days, but speaking of Big Green, we had our boy, Bug Hall.
Oh, my God. This is disturbing.
This is kind of shocking because they did the Little Rascals reunion not too long ago, didn't they?
Maybe four or five years ago now?
Yeah. Well, anyway, Bug Hall, known as Alfalfa in Little Rascals, arrested after allegedly inhaling air duster. Sad.
Wow.
Sad.
Wow. That is like the, you know, if you're kind of looking to get high, that is like the scummiest way to get high. That is for like the lowest of the low.
Yeah. Well, can't imagine he's getting a lot of work, getting a lot of money. You know, you got to go the cheap route. But that, I mean, that shit will kill you real quick.
Yeah, I mean, that fries your brain. He was in American Pie Book of Love.
Oh, so?
Well, that might have been his last film.
Well, he's 35 now and says, arrested Saturday in Weatherford, Texas after cops responded to calls for a status check for a possible overdose poisoning. And they said someone was behind a dumpster huffing. Looking a little crummy there, Bug.
Yeah. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Poor guy. Maybe we can get him on the podcast.
It's funny you brought him up because I was just going to say, talking about shitty kids movies, Little Giants, which he's in.
Is he?
That's probably my favorite of the shitty kids movies. Maybe he's not in there. Am I tripping? Someone tell me if Bug Hall's in Little Giants.
Well, that's fun. You know what Google is?
He's not. He's not in Little Giants.
Is it that other geeky kid?
Wait, is Bug Hall in a soccer movie?
Yeah, The Big Green.
That's what I was thinking of.
That's why I brought it up.
Wow, you're so far ahead of me.
That's okay, bud. It's all right. You're just waiting to get off here.
God, that's a bad mugshot. He's wearing like the typical like jail outfit.
Oh yeah, it looks bad. I guess Arachnequake wasn't really doing it for him.
Yikes.
Poor guy. Well, Bug, hope you get the help you need.
That's nasty shit.
First it was Sean Weiss, and now it's Bug Hall. Who's next on the list of child stars that get arrested?
Devon Sawa.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. It's a tough question to answer. Perhaps I don't know.
Me either.
Who cares anyway?
True.
What do you guys think out there? Who do you think is going to be next on the list of child stars that get arrested? Kenan Thompson?
No, he's got a good thing going on, man. What the? He's like one of the longest tenured. Doesn't mean he can't get SNL arrested. Cast. true, but why would you be a huffing air duster if you're fucking on SNL?
Oh, yeah, he's got a maid. But he's probably going to...
I think he's one of the...
He's been there forever.
Yeah, or the longest tenured SNL cast member.
But what does that say? That he's not good enough for movies and...
Well, I mean, a lot of people would kill to be on SNL.
I mean, that's very true.
I think a lot of people get on there... I mean, it's,
I think it's like
historically a lot of people have gotten on there and they use it to like launch their movie
career.
Yeah,
it's like a step.
Yeah, he's just kind of content being there, and that's cool.
Yeah, no problems at all. Never seen Good Burger though.
Oh, I mean, it would suck now for you, but
actually, it's funny. When I was scrolling through Facebook today, a clip popped up from that new All That that's going on, and it was it was Good Burger, and it was just Kel, but still holding on to that little sliver.
Yeah, I like the Good Burger film. Maybe I don't know. There's some funny shit in there. Dan Schneider's a real creep.
Oh God, Dan Schneider, hold her tighter.
Yeah.
You got what? You got a good one?
Dan, show me your feet while I beat my meats. That's it. I don't want to get into it.
I got one more though.
All right.
Dan, touch my dick. I'll put you on Nick Snyder.
Oh, damn. Oh,
man. What a sick fuck.
He was technically never accused of anything. Like,
well, he was accused of a lot. I don't know if...
Well, I mean, he never got, like, charges against him or anything.
No. But they did kick him out probably just so they could, you know, keep it quiet.
Right. I mean, why else would you kick out the guy that, like, created so much of the shit that they're famous for, you know?
Right. Exactly.
He'd been there a long time.
Well, yeah, he was kind of what made that channel.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyways. Interesting article here. Well, I found it interesting because usually you don't really see actors speaking out about films they've been in or future films they might be in. But Mackenzie Davis, who was in the Terminator Dark Fate film.
She was the masculine-looking Terminator.
She was the non-binary character in the film. Linda Hamilton?
You know, when I saw, what's that movie with Charlize Tully?
Uh-huh.
Okay, when I saw Mackenzie Davis in that, that's like the first time I'd seen her. I thought, wow, this chick's kind of cute. Yeah. But then everything else I've seen her in. Ooh.
I don't think, I just think, she's very plain.
Yeah, she's just, you know. I shouldn't say, that's not...
Yeah, that's... I mean, what, thing to say. This is not really...
She's not ugly, but she's just not... I was misconceived.
Yeah, she's doesn't really do too much. Well, what a horrible topic to talk about in the Me Too phase of the world.
Me too.
You too? Anyways, what they asked her was, you've been in a few dystopian sci-fi films, though. Terminator Dark Fate, for example. Is there a sequel coming? And what I found interesting was her response, where she said, I really love the movie and I'm so proud of what we did, but there wasn't a demand for it at the box office, and to think that there'd be a demand for a seventh film is quite insane. You should pay attention to what audiences want, and they want new things, and I want new things.
I don't know. You know, I think that might have been the final straw for Terminator, because that movie lost a shit ton of money, man.
It did.
Well, I think it did.
It did. Well, probably, but it's been a long time coming. I mean, the series has...
It's just never worked. It hasn't... I mean, Terminator 1, great. Terminator 2, masterpiece.
They could...
And it's a perfect ending to the story. Terminator 3 is okay, but then they started doing Salvation and fucking, you know, Terminator Genesis, which was like some weird
time,
almost like hybrid, like remake time travel where Emilia Clarke was doing this crummy Linda Hamilton impression, and just horrible.
Right.
And then this one that came out last year that I did go to see because, you know, curiosity got the best of me. I did. Okay. Yeah.
No.
The movie makes a fatal mistake in the first 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard. That really just makes you not want to continue.
Well, it's kind of, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, if you do get past that, you know, you got Linda Hamilton, who hasn't been in the franchise since Terminator 2, who, as far as I know, or from what I heard, they really kind of, like, she had minimal interest in even doing it. You don't really see her much anymore,
you
know?
Yeah, they kind of had to really beg her.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, there's some cool... Every one of those movies has some cool parts and some interesting parts, but God, the story is just so convoluted now and boring, you know?
Yeah, kind of like Metal Gear Solid.
Wow. Wow.
Just
convoluted, yes, but not nearly as big of a mess as the fucking Terminator franchise.
Not yet. We'll find out soon.
Keep playing them.
I will. I mean, I don't think she's wrong. It's who is demanding to see a new one, and who's going to demand to see a seventh one?
Right. I mean, like, putting Arnold in there as the Terminator is not enough to keep making them, you know? Like,
that
I love the first two movies. The second movie in particular is like...
I'm,
that's the finest action film ever, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I mean, it's a masterpiece of an action film.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not one to watch that genre ever, really, but that movie is just like an awesome story, and like the action is so well done, you mm-hmm. know? And the way it ends, like, that was it for me. That's the story, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, and it's not super confusing either. And with every new one they make, and I'm talking out of my ass because I've never seen them, but... They just seem more and more complicated and trying to change things and different actors playing, you know, characters that have been played by other people in different films. And it just sounds like a shit show.
I would say, though, out of all those post T2 sequels, Terminator 3 is, it's decent. Like, it's not a bad movie.
Okay.
It's kind of fun.
Who's in that one?
It's Nick Stahl, the kid from Man Without a Face.
Oh.
He's John Connor. And then it's like this chick Terminator. I don't know what her name is, but she's smoking hot.
Oh, that one.
In the film.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's not a horrible movie.
Which one is the one that Anton's in?
That might be... Yeah, that might be Salvation.
Is that the one with Christian Bale as well?
Yeah, that's, yeah, he was in Salvation.
Okay. I mean, not...
Anton Yelchin as Kyle Reese.
Oh, well. Gonna run right out and watch that one. Join the prep club, too.
Man, just, like, give it a rest already, you know?
Yeah. So, are you kind of in the same camp as her?
Oh, I've been feeling that way.
Well, right. I mean, how many times have we come on here talking about a Terminator trailer saying, why are we doing this again?
Right, literally the only reason I bothered going see Dark Fate was because I had the AMC pass thing.
True.
You know? It was like, I was just looking for a movie to watch that week.
Yeah. So, hopefully that'll be the end of it. Not that it, like, has ever bothered me, because I just don't watch them.
It's,
but...
Yeah, just, I mean, 1, 2, maybe 3.
Yeah.
But really, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then they hyped up, oh my God, Eddie Furlong's big return. Good God.
Said it for like 5 seconds.
5 seconds, like his young face. It's horrible.
It's not even him.
Get into it. Piece of shit.
Well, as you'd expect, not many trailers coming out. Would you say you've been excited for Bill and Ted?
No.
Would you say you have some interest in Bill and Ted?
I would say that. Yeah, I enjoy the first two Bill and Ted films. You familiar with them?
I am not familiar with them. So I feel like it may be tough to get into them now.
Well, maybe not. I mean, I watched them for the first time probably 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Are they great? No.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd probably go in with that kind of mindset, and maybe that'll help the viewing experience.
Just keep in mind, like, the time period and what they're trying to do, and it's definitely enjoyable.
Okay.
Bill and Ted 3 was one of those projects that's kind of been in limbo for years, you know. I think since the second one came out, like, it's just something I could never get off the ground. They finally did, and I was kind of following it, you know, the pictures and stuff, and I was curious to really see just like the first shot of these guys back in those roles, you know. Especially Keanu Reeves, who's went on to become like a huge movie star.
Yeah, do you think his resurgence lately is kind of what helped it get off the ground?
I'm sure. I mean, that's why people are going to go see it. Fucking Alex Winter has not been in anything.
Well, he's directed some good films.
Yeah, some great films.
The Smosh movie.
Yikes. I watched this trailer, though. I mean, it's about what I expected it to be.
Yeah, there's... I don't know.
Keanu is kind of weird looking in this trailer.
Plastic.
Honestly. Yeah, like I feel like Alex Winter will be fine. He kind of seemed to jump right back into it, but do you just wonder what like Keanu Reeves is thinking while he's filming that? Like, oh god, I was just in Toy Story 4 and
John Wick.
You know, got my John Wick franchise going.
We're doing another Matrix.
Yeah, I've got to go back and like be this hippie sort of rocker guy. It's funny to me, like when actors go back to something like that.
It is. I can appreciate it though, especially we were talking about the other day, like Ben Affleck, who's a massive superstar, still goes back right. and does cameos in Kevin Smith movies.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was like cool to see him in the reboot, but I'll watch this.
I don't know. Keanu doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He seems pretty down to earth and kind of humble about everything.
It's totally a fan service thing. Of course. I don't know. I mean, the first two movies are not good films. There's a difference to me, at least when I'm watching a movie, between something being great or good and something just being fun, you know?
Yeah, some things are enjoyable not being great, but some things are just not good.
Right. There's movies that I know are not well-made films that are fun to me. And I don't think the Bill and Ted movies are bad. They're just like, they're no cinematic achievements, you know?
Right, right. So, yeah. Well,
I'll watch it.
Samara Weaving's in it as, I assume, Alex Winter's daughter, smoking hot.
They got a lot of old faces to come back. The guy that plays Death in the second Bill and Ted movie. It's kind of cool to see him as the Grim Reaper.
Oh, from Shawshank? Again. Yeah. What's his name? Fuck. Can't think of it.
It'll be interesting,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. The other thing, though, the tax collector.
Well,
the super unoriginal
Nick
movie.
D's excited for it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you are, bud. To me, it just looks pretty paint by numbers.
I'm a big Shia LaBeouf fan. That's the only reason I watched the trailer. You know, if Shia LaBeouf wasn't in this, it'd be one of those movies that, I just kind of forget about, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not my type of film.
Right.
I watched it, though, because he's in the trailer. And, it didn't really do a whole lot for me. I thought it looked kind of generic, but I would definitely watch it.
I won't. I think I'll probably skip that one.
Really? You would never watch that? Like, if $5 or something?
I wouldn't say never. $5, I don't know. Like, thinking about the movie right now, I already forgot about the trailer, and
it's just, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, those types of movies are of very minimal interest to me. Like, I don't even know what it's about, but, you know, just, you could tell the way it's shot, like, those typical-looking bad guys, and there's a bunch of guns, and it's just like, fuck.
There's, like, no real characters or...
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Well, David Ayer is not a great...
Is he some great director? Because I don't think
he's
so.
He's not great. He's made a couple things I like.
Fury's good.
Fury's good. End of Watch is pretty good.
I like that one.
I think he wrote Training Day, which people love.
I do like Training Day. Have you seen that?
I have, yeah. It's pretty good. It's Ethan Hawke, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, minimal interest. And by minimal, I mean, like, minuscule.
See, I'm not that. I've got a little interest, but probably not as low of a level as you do.
Right. Well, with not much else to talk about in the world of film, should we jump right into our topic today?
Let's do it.
Well,
war.
What is it good for?
I love war.
Well, one of my favorite genres, one of my favorite genders. Seen quite a few, so I picked a list here, top 20. Didn't think we need to go too deep into like a top 50 where there's movies where we're like, never seen it. But
yeah, it's I don't know. Before we get too deep into it, with the war genre, I feel like there's a lot of them, but there's like only a handful that have stuck out as like being great films, you know?
Right.
That's just in my opinion.
Right, and it's probably just maybe because you haven't seen as many.
I mean, can you think of like 20 war films that you think are great?
I can think of over 20 that I enjoy.
Okay, well, I'm listening, and maybe I'll discover some new ones. Teach me, dad?
I'll teach you, son. Well, I guess the war genre is a little bit broad because there are some films in this honorable mention list I have, and then the one that's on Esquire, which is the list that it's on, where it's more Holocaust films or stuff that isn't directly related to fighting, but more of like the time period during a war.
Right.
So...
So you're saying not every film on this list is just going to have like a bunch of battle scenes?
Correct. That's okay. Precisely it. So Esquire put out a top 20 greatest war movies of all time. But I do have a bunch of honorable mentions here. So you have a ton to think about, buddy.
All right. Got my letterbox pulled up alongside of this list.
Cool. So,
and I'll probably add none of them to my watch list.
So all these honorable mentions are ones that are not on this list. So first we got Braveheart, which...
I didn't even know that was a war movie.
It is, yeah. It's the War of English Independence.
Okay.
Or Scottish Independence now, from England.
I gotta admit, there's a handful of films over time that I haven't seen... And that, like, I'm kind of ashamed that I haven't seen as someone who claims to love movies.
Right.
This is one of those. I've never seen this movie.
Well, I'm surprised because it's Mel.
It's Mel.
You know.
But you shouldn't be surprised when you look at that runtime and you know me.
Well, that's true. I only watched it for the first time a few years ago, and I've seen it several times since. It's
okay.
I've heard it's unbelievably historically inaccurate. So much.
Well, that's never bothered me.
But it's enjoyable. Like, it's an enjoy. I mean, I guess I wouldn't call it an enjoyable war movie, but it's, you know, as a movie, it's entertaining.
Right. Now, I'm interested now. Because I've got this Blu-ray. It's in the shrink wrap. It's probably been in the shrink wrap for 6 years.
Well, if you have it, you got no excuse.
You're right.
Nice Saturday morning, cup of coffee, watching Mel take down a bunch of Englishmen.
Watching a badass masculine Mel.
Yeah, he's never been more masculine.
toxic masculinity.
Next up, Hacksaw Ridge. Speaking of Mel,
now
see what I mean.
This film, I love this movie.
This one had probably what had a really profound effect on me when I watched it in theaters.
Me too.
And I can't remember the last time I had a moment like that. Embarrassing, but I remember my mom laughed because it was too much for her. She doesn't really care for that stuff. So when I walked back out and I told her, "Hey," I told her about that ending part where it's the real Desmond Doss, and I was like so overwhelmed by emotion. I was like,
"Were you crying?"
I was.
Oh my god!
It wasn't like full blown crying, but I was.
Didn't your mom know what she was getting into?
I did not expect how horrific that movie was going to be. Because I remember when we did a trailer.
It's like tea watching The Lighthouse. Sit down and watch the movie.
Yeah, you remember when we did the trailer for Hacksaw Ridge and we're like, this looks like cheesy crap.
I do remember.
I did not expect that second half, and it was.
No.
It's pretty rough, but I.
And I'm with you there, too. Like, there's only been two movies that I've ever come out of, like, from the theater and thought, wow, that's like a masterwork.
Yeah.
One was The Irishman, and the other was Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. It was something else. And
so good.
Yeah. Next up, we don't have to talk like too in depth about all these other ones because I'm sure a lot of them you might not have seen. But the next one, I know you make fun of me a lot, but War Horse is good. It's another of the, it's a Steven Spielberg film that's I think is highly overlooked.
Well, you were right about War of the Worlds.
True. War of the Worlds. Let's go ahead and tell the people. What did you think of War of the Worlds?
Love the movie.
Speaking of war films.
Yeah, it's great. I never bothered with it.
Yeah.
Always knew about it, never bothered with it. Nick had watched it not too long ago, and I was, you know, kind of asking him about it, and he let me borrow the 4K, and shit, it was great.
Yeah, great fun time.
Something about this, though, something about a horse just puts me to sleep.
Well, it's not to get too in-depth, but it's just about a horse that this kid grows a bond with. He trains him and teaches him, blah, blah, blah. And then because World War One starts, they have to take all the horses, and it's just like the horse's journey and all its owners that it has. And it's all
right, fuck it, I'll put it on the watch
list. It's kind of interesting. If you never watch it, fine, but at least you put it on the list.
Wouldn't be my go-to, but maybe someday.
Yeah, well, I'll let you borrow the Blu-ray, and then you can.
Okay.
Next up, this is another one that's more of a Holocaust film, Life is Beautiful.
Is this Robin Williams?
No, it's Roberto Benigni. It's a foreign film.
What am I talking about? What's the Robin Williams...
What are you thinking of? Good Morning Vietnam? Jew movie. Oh, no. Jew movie?
It's... hold on, I'm going to find it right now, live on the air.
I can't even think.
The movie is...
Can you think of who else is in it?
Oh, Jacob the Liar.
I've never heard of that.
In 1944, Poland, a Jewish shopkeeper. Anyways, so-and-so. Hmm. Sounds like a war movie.
Yeah, I would probably put that in the category if I ever saw it and liked it.
Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, this is Roberto Benigni. He won best foreign film. It's kind of a humorous take on the Holocaust because it's this dad and this son, and he's trying to make the son see that, you know, the world's not all bad at the same time being stuck in a camp. So it's got a really depressing ending, and it's a pretty good one.
Do they get gassed at the end, or what happens?
You want to know?
No, don't, because I'm if it's a depressing ending and they're in fucking Auschwitz, I'm sure something sad happens.
It's the depressing ending.
Okay. Looks good.
Yeah. Next up, Fury.
Fury. Went out to Target the day that came out and blind bought the steelbook.
It's a nice little steelbook. I still have that one in my collection.
I watched it that night and haven't seen it since.
Oh, wow. It's.
And how is that movie 6 years old?
Oh, my God. So it was the same year as Boyhood?
Yeah.
Good fucking God. Life is flashing before our eyes.
Help.
Yeah, Fury's good, especially for a tank movie.
I do like Fury. A lot of good people in that.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf is great in that film.
Brad Pitt. I've Brad grown Pitt. To be a bigger fan of in recent years.
I like Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Next up, Glory with Matthew Broderick and Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington.
I'll be honest. Something about that artwork has always turned me off.
The artwork's not great. The movie is, though.
Matthew the Murderer Broderick.
Yeah. How do you think they live with themselves?
Probably easy to forget things when you got that amount of money.
True. Well, it's interesting. I was watching that Josh Gad thing with the Ferris Bueller cast, and sometimes I think of stupid things, and I was thinking, you know, Jennifer Grey and Matthew Broderick are on this call together. Are they thinking about that person they killed years ago? Does it bring back those memories?
They could.
Fuck.
I never knew much about this movie. I'm interested, though.
Yeah, it's good. 4K looks good. I'll let you borrow that one, too.
Well, not too many at a time, or you'll never get them back.
Well, I take them out at from Nick's Blu-ray service, rental service.
Nick's Video Shop.
Nick's Blu-ray rectum service.
Oh.
Next up, the film that kind of inspired us talking about this, Come and See, which was just released on Criterion.
This one I'm excited to watch. It's been on my watch list for years. Very strange. Like, okay, I'm looking at Letterboxd. You look at that poster. It looks like a sci-fi film.
It does, which...
Nothing about that poster says war. It looks like, you know, like some sci-fi space shit.
Yeah, it will, like, Enter the Void or something.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, it may be one of the more horrific war movies I've watched.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an experience. It gave me a weird feeling after watching it.
I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy that one. I've been waiting for that one to come to Blu-ray. The only place I could find it to watch it was renting from Amazon.
Yeah, I'm excited to get that one because that's one that I know I'll buy it and I'll probably watch it, like, you know, within a week.
Right, exactly. Kind of bust through the rest of these ones to get to the real list. Grave of the Fireflies, which is an anime about World War II. It's pretty... I think it's the most violent and bloody of all the animes, at least that I've seen.
Oh, okay.
That one's pretty horrific. The Pianist, which is another more Holocaust.
Is that Polanski?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's one that I'm hoping one day will come to Criterion, because it's...
I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah, it doesn't have a Blu-ray. Showa, Ivan's Childhood, Son of Saul.
No, hold on. Showa, we got to talk about that, because you've sat through that, haven't you?
I did. I didn't do it all in one sitting. I almost treated it like a TV show.
Right.
That is 9 hours of interviews with survivors of the Holocaust, with SS officers who...
They use no archive, right?
What's that? What?
They use no archive footage, right?
Oh,
it's just all talking.
Correct, yeah. It's like it's all talking, all interviews. No footage of the camps, no footage of anything. They talk to villagers that watched people get taken away in trains. I mean, they're even talking about how people that were getting taken away in trains, they were getting laughed at by the people of the villages. And
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
I would have to assume for 9 hours or whatever that is with no archived footage, some of those interviews they have to cover just about everything, you know?
Oh yeah, they're very long, and they interviewed one of the German officers, and they had to do it secretly or else he wouldn't have done it.
Right.
So it's
interesting. I've always been intrigued by that. I wouldn't sit and watch it all in one day.
Yeah, it's daunting. It took me a few months, I think, to actually get through all of it.
Right.
Son of Saul, which is a more recent Holocaust film. Jarhead, which I think is a really good war film from Sam Mendes, which isn't really about war. It's about, you know, what happens to these soldiers when they get stir crazy, when they don't have anything to do. Whoops.
Okay. I mean, well, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal made me think of Brothers. That's kind of a war film.
Yeah, huh? I mean, you could argue that for sure, which is...
Oh, you don't like that one, though, do you?
I don't really dislike it. It's got good actors in it. It's got a great Tobey Maguire breakdown scene.
That scene is great. And when he's in the kitchen and he's just had enough and, you know, his wife... Oh, beautiful Natalie Portman.
Yeah, and they didn't really... Not to spoil anything, but they didn't really do that much.
Right, but he's, like, paranoid. You
well,
know?
Yeah, and he's also probably shell-shocked, PTSD from the war, and, you know.
I've only seen that once, but I enjoyed it. I mean, look, if Natalie's in it, I'm watching.
Anything?
Well, not Star Wars Episode 20, but there are other ones I'll watch.
Episode 20? She was in one of the early ones. Lawrence of Arabia?
Never seen it.
Yeah, that one I don't know if you would like. I know that if you see the runtime and what it's about, you'd be like, oh.
Shit.
But that's another good one. Fantastic score. And a couple more real quick. Barry Lyndon.
Oh, my God.
Barry Lyndon is an M word.
Fuck. Okay, so when we talk about something like Lawrence of Arabia, and then I look at it and think, oh, God, that runtime, I may never watch it. Well, that's how I felt about Barry Lyndon.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
And I watched Barry Lyndon, and I was blown away by it, you know, so...
Well, and I understand your thinking. I mean, it's...
Right.
Especially because you don't know if you like it, so if you don't, you run the risk of wasting those 3 hours where you could have watched something else.
I like to almost make like an event out of like tackling a long movie like that.
You know? I agree. I love the feeling of waking up on a weekend morning with a cup of coffee and just watching something like that.
I think I actually tackled Barry Lyndon like at night, and I had like a couple beers, and I ended up like ordering some food.
Yeah.
It was just a nice sort of, I made an event out
that
of it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But a lot of those films, that's what I do. I'll get up maybe a little earlier on the weekend, and then, you know, cup of coffee, suck my cock, and you know. And then lastly, War and Peace, which is another one of those super long. It's like 7 hours long.
That's on Criterion now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And
I'm sorry, like that is so fucking long. Did you watch that in one sitting?
No, it's split up in like four parts, like actually split up. So I just once again treat it like a TV show. Watch it all in one sitting, but it's got some really good battle sequences, especially for an older film. And I think it almost crippled a country, too, with how much it cost.
Shit.
But those are just some of the honorable mentions that did not make the list. So now we're on to the big ones.
Love it.
20 greatest war movies of all time. Number 20. This is an interesting choice. I never would have thought of this. Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay. Where are we referencing this list from? Where is this list from?
This is on Esquire.
Okay, Esquire. He already said that. I mean,
set against the Spanish Civil War.
So they're like, okay, if it's the backdrop is war, they're classifying it as a war movie?
Yeah, even I would classify it as not exactly about the fighting, just set during the time.
I mean, it's a hell of a movie.
And it's very good, yeah. Set against the Spanish Civil War, Guillermo del Toro's strange look into the era is a fantastical triumph and a welcome respite from the obvious war genre.
The film juxtaposes issues related to the Civil War with horror films. So, I mean, I guess I'd have to watch it again.
There's a pretty horrific scene, though, when he beats that guy, his face to a pulp.
Right. The only thing I really I remember loving the film. I've only seen it once, but the only thing I remember is that creepy Doug Jones character.
Oh, yeah, with the eyes in his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl from that movie.
Oh, yeah. She looks very attractive. Very good.
Ivana. Ivana Humpalat.
Sounds like an Austin Powers character.
It is.
Okay. Ivana Humpalat. Number 19, Inglourious Basterds.
Ooh.
This is my favorite Tarantino.
This is my favorite Tarantino.
Is it?
It is.
What's your second, Django?
My second is not Django, but Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
But I think Inglourious Basterds is Tarantino's finest effort.
What a pretentious way to put it.
It's good.
I just think the scenes, the dialogue scenes, I mean, if you like dialogue, this is the movie. Those scenes are so full of tension, and you learn a lot just from, like, that. It could teach some of these scenes in a class, and you could learn a lot about writing and about tension building and...
Fantastic Mike Myers film.
See, I knew you were going to say something stupid after something I said.
Oh,
he's
shit.
In it for like a second.
I like the chick in that movie too. Like, she's not particularly hot, but something about her is very attractive.
The French one, or
the French one, I think.
Melanie Laurent.
Yeah, I like her.
Her and Diane Kruger.
Yes.
Number 18. This is the one that I have not seen. But it's got Mel in it, so I will see it. Gallipoli, it's an Australian's look into World War I. The film was lauded by critics.
How do you spell that?
Gallipoli. The film was lauded by critics, completely swept Australian Film Awards, and remains one of the greatest war epics of all time.
I haven't even heard of that.
I've heard of it. I think it might be on my list.
Look at Mel's ponytail.
Oh, God, does he have a ponytail?
Am I seeing things, or is it like a bun, or what's he got on?
It doesn't look like it from the picture that I'm seeing.
Look at the letterboxed, the banner.
Let's see.
Looks like he looks like a woman. I think it's the hair behind him.
I think it's something behind him. I don't think that's him.
Fuck, that's funny.
Ah.
He kind of looks like Miss Trunchbull in that picture.
Peter Weir. Who did such films as Truman Show, Dead Poets Society. Ooh.
So did he do anything good, or?
Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Ugh.
Shut up, loser. I'll add that one to my list. Well, it's already on there, so. Ooh. Speaking of things you hate, number 17, Dunkirk.
I can't say I hate this because I haven't seen it. I just don't like the director.
Okay. I mean, I like the film. He found a way to make it about dumbass time and stuff. But,
can you just make a movie with a beginning and a middle and an end?
No.
God.
No. Pretty good war film. Enjoy it. 16. People talk about this one a lot. I didn't love it when I watched it, but Black Hawk Down.
I have seen that, but
I don't
remember
care
much about
too
it.
Much for Modern Warfare, Modern Fighting.
Oh shit, Ewan McGregor's in that?
Yeah. Even better, Josh Hartnett.
Wow.
Directed by Ridley Scott.
Holy shit, Tom Guiri's in that?
Oh my god.
Tom Guiri was in The Revenant?
Is he? Oh yeah, I think he's at the fort.
Man.
Wow. Actually, yeah.
I'm with you though, like, I'd rather watch some World War II shit, I guess.
Vietnam even.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
but,
that.
But, I didn't know Ridley Scott directed Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, well, that's Ridley Scott. He's known for more of his sci-fi stuff, but he's kind of a man of many different genders and genres.
No, he kind of feels like, you know, he's a little bit overlooked, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I can agree with that. Number 15, Full Metal Jacket.
Ooh.
This is a great
Okay, this is a now great see, one. I totally forgot about Full Metal Jacket. I don't know why. But that would be on my list.
I mean, it is a war film. There's war scenes, but the ones you think about are the boot camp.
Yeah, it's really two movies in one, you know?
Well, I would say that Hacksaw Ridge probably took a little bit from it.
Hacksaw Ridge definitely follows that formula.
Yeah.
Hacksaw Ridge is like three movies.
It's the, what would you say? It's him, home life, it's boot camp, and then it's...
Yeah.
Okay. War.
Home life, you know, with him and Teresa Palmer. Mm. And, you know, Hugo Weaving. And,
yeah.
You know, home life. And like you said, boot camp with Vince Vaughn. And then the final act of the film is on the battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But
I love Full Metal Jacket, though.
It's very good. Very disturbing. First time I watched it, I was kind of shocked at the end of boot camp.
Right.
Did not expect that.
Yeah, just Vince D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What a performance.
You know, it's... Stanley Kubrick was just something else.
Yeah, he was on a whole
something
other
else,
level.
Man. Really. I mean, you know, I don't. Maybe it's a pretentious thing to say. Oh my God, Kubrick is just so great. But he really... I mean, he tackled so many different things.
There's a reason that people talk about him the way they do.
Right. I mean, he made, like, a space film that's, like, the best ever.
Yeah.
He made a horror film that's arguably the best ever.
Yeah.
A war movie that's one of the best ever. You know, I mean, just, like, major genres that he tackles, you know?
He made a... whatever Barry Lyndon is, whatever you want to call that.
Right.
He made that interesting.
Period piece.
A period piece that's interesting.
And then, like, Dr. Strangelove, what would you call that, like, satire?
Political comedy, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, really, just, he took, like, five different genres and he mastered all of them.
I mean, his worst films are still good.
Right, as much as I love, like, a Martin Scorsese, who I think is, you know, one of the best, he kind of tends to stick with one sort of type, I guess.
Right.
And he's mastered it, but what's so awesome about Kubrick is, like I said, you know, just... so many different genres, and he made like films that are some of the best in each.
Yeah, and you name all those films and then you forget, oh, Clockwork Orange, which people would give their left nut to call their best film.
Right. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Something
what
else.
A director.
Yeah.
Full Metal Jacket is phenomenal.
Yeah. Next up, number 14. Do enjoy this one. Letters from Iwo Jima. This was a Clint Eastwood film. So basically what Clint Eastwood did was he made two war movies. He made Letters from Iwo Jima and Flags of Our Fathers. Flags of Our Fathers from the American side and Letters from Iwo Jima is from the Japanese side. And it kind of humanized the Japanese because when you watch most war films, it's just like, oh, you know, Germans, Japanese, but this one kind of broke it down into actual characters and...
Ken Watanabe. He's in every film that's got like a typical Japanese character.
Exactly.
He's like the Irfan Khan of Japanese actors.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think Spielberg produced it, and then like I said, Eastwood directed it, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's a good one. Number 13. Didn't even mention this one 2 minutes ago. Paths of Glory.
Wow. So you totally skipped over that in the Kubrick filmography. I need to watch this again, I'll be honest.
This is one of those rare ones that, like you were saying with Hacksaw, I gave it a 5. after I watched it. Everything I wanted to happen happened, and I personally was just not bored the whole time.
I owe it to myself. It's 88 minutes. Should watch it again.
Not long. It's got some great battle sequences, especially for the time. And
I think I might have just went into that. You know, I was coming off like The Shining and 2001: A Space Odyssey,
right?
Clockwork Orange, and then you go to like a 1950s Kubrick film. I just don't think I was expecting what it was.
Right.
I need to watch it again.
And that's fair. And I could argue this one's more of an anti-war film because there's some sequences with.
Right.
With Kirk Douglas, where he's arguing with superiority. And
isn't it just crazy how, like, you're looking at the pictures of this movie, and, like, Kirk Douglas kind of looks like a middle-aged man in 1957.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just died.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy, man.
Well, he was probably, 40 at the time when he made this?
Yeah, just crazy.
Insane. Some people have all the luck. Number 12, Hiroshima Mon Amour. French director Alain Renoir may most often... the movie explores a tragic and intimate love affair between a French actress and a Japanese architect. Both of their lives were irrevocably changed by World War II and the devastation of the Hiroshima bomb.
Hmm.
I do own this Criterion. I watched it. Wasn't thrilled with it, but...
Really?
Yeah, I would almost equate it to Columbus that came out a few years ago.
Okay.
Wow,
considered one of the vanguard productions of the French New Wave.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of... It's like one of those walking, talking sort of movies.
I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I just don't think I fully appreciated it as much as I would have liked to.
A movie like that, 92 minutes, perfect.
Oh, yeah. Not bad at all. This one's kind of shocking to me because it's very recent. 1917 at number 11.
You know what, though? I can see that.
I can, too.
That movie is awesome.
I love this movie.
Wow, you gave it a 5, huh?
Not initially, but watching it a second time, I did. I mean, there's like...
I could see that happening.
There's like nothing wrong with it, really.
Nope.
I mean, it's an achievement.
It is. Spectacle, for sure.
People might argue, it's gimmick. Well, it did something different.
Well, I don't like the movie because it's one shot.
Right.
You know, that movie, I would have liked it if it was shot normally, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just cool looking.
Yeah, and the argument of, well, you don't really know a lot about the characters. Okay.
I don't need to have some big, deep plot. I mean, they had a mission, and that was the story, you know? He was trying to get there to deliver that message.
Yeah.
Fantastic score, by the way.
Oh, God, yeah. And I think that the scene of him running down the trench may go down as, like, one of the great shots in film.
Oh, great. So great.
Number 10, Patton. This movie really made me appreciate George C. Scott, but it can be considered boring because it's like a biographical film about George Patton, but it's thoroughly enjoyable.
Never seen it.
Went on to win 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, and Jackass 3, I think, where he's standing in front of the flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what that's from.
Cool.
Ooh, oh my God. Number 9. Schindler's List.
Fantastic film. What? I've only seen it once. Probably don't need to watch it until I'm in my 60s if I make it that far.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw it?
The first and only time I've seen it was, God, when did that Blu-ray come out initially? It's probably been 6-7 years now.
That 10th anniversary set or 20th anniversary or something?
Yeah, maybe 5 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't logged it on Letterboxd, so
before.
Yeah, it was, it was probably 6 years ago.
How many times have I watched it? 3 times?
I don't know how many times you've watched it.
I guess you can't see that, but...
I can't see it.
I fucking love this movie. Probably top 50 in there. It's just...
Okay.
It's Spielberg... Even his... Like, I know you don't really care for Bridge of Spies, but even that is quality.
That's another one I should rewatch.
But it's just... It's hard to put into words. It's just very visceral and real and just fucking depressing. You like to see the change of heart from Liam Neeson, because he initially just tries to profit off of the war, but he starts to change his ways. And the scene when he sees how many people he saved, is it's one of those tearjerker scenes.
That'll be something else I watch again in my life. You know, it takes a lot out of you.
It's rough.
I know the 4K is always like $10 or something like that, but it's just like, fuck, $10. It's gonna sit there.
Right. Ralph Fiennes has played two of the great villains in film.
Oh.
Amon Goeth and Voldemort.
Oh shit, Ben Kingsley's in this movie?
Yeah, he's like Liam Neeson's right hand man.
I love Sir Ben Kingsley. And, what an actor.
And Embeth Davis, Miss Honey from Matilda.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a great one though. I really love it.
I really love it.
Number 8, Bridge on the River Kwai. Sir Alec Guinness. another really good war film where the Japanese make the Americans, or I guess they're British, make the British build a bridge on the River Kwai.
A 1957, 161-minute film about a bridge. I don't know if I'll ever get to it.
That's fair. I can understand that. It does... The end is pretty great, though. Okay. Guess what happens to the bridge?
It gets blown up.
Do you see that? Are you guessing? Or
I'm guessing.
Moving on. Number 7. This is another one I have not seen in years. I don't even think I have it logged on Letterboxd, but people love it. Platoon.
I saw this one time. I probably logged on Letterboxd. Let me see. Nope, this would have been before my Letterboxd days.
It's one of the early Blu-rays I've owned, though.
Yeah, me too. I think it was one of the first ones I got. Oliver Stone film. You know, I just remember it kind of having a little bit of a cheesy feel to it, I guess.
Yeah, I think I agree. Here it says, calls it one of the most raw and devastating portrayals of war.
I didn't feel that, but...
And the effects are both moving and disturbing at the same time. But Oliver Stone was in Vietnam, and I guess he wrote it off of personal experience.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it. I mean, it didn't feel like it was one of those upper-tier war films, you know? But...
Right. Right. And there's that iconic shot of Willem Dafoe with his arms raised to the sky. And
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love Oliver Stone either.
You don't like Wall Street?
That one's good. Okay, maybe I like his films. He's like one of those middling guys, though. I like JFK, Wall Street, and Born on the 4th of July, but I don't, like, love them. If that makes sense.
Yeah, his filmography is not particularly exciting to me. I really enjoy Wall Street, though, and I actually think the Wall Street sequel is criminally underrated.
Yeah. Yeah, Wall Street is good. Number 6. Now you have something to talk about. Apocalypse Now.
Number 6, though. What the hell? That's a little low.
Oh, they did Saving Private Ryan dirty.
Man. Apocalypse Now is my favorite war film.
Apocalypse...
And it's hardly a war film.
It really isn't. It's just set during a war.
Yeah, there's a couple combat scenes, I guess, but it's mostly the story of them trying to find and eliminate Colonel Kurtz, you know, played by Marlon Brando, in a fucking amazing performance.
I think I've said this before, but I really like the longer films where there's like an adventure and they do a lot of small tasks along the way, but I like the journey to get to Kurtz, because
they go
on all these pit stops along the way, but those are not the main objective. They still have the main objective.
Right.
And once they get there, you know, it's like, well, okay, now we're here. What's going to happen?
And that shot when they're kind of like the boat is approaching Kurtz's compound.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. That is next level.
That's one of the great shots.
Yeah. And just the story behind that movie, the pain in the ass that it was to film for Coppola and fucking Martin Sheen having a heart attack. Yeah. And I mean, I know most of you guys probably know about it, but the Hearts of Darkness documentary that's out there that chronicles the pain in the ass process of filming that movie. It's definitely one of the best like filmmaking documentaries I've seen.
Easily. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those films.
Yeah. That's an amazing movie, man. amazing.
Let's
great 4K, by the way.
Oh yeah, really great 4K. Number five, Ran.
Ran?
Yeah, from Akira Kurosawa.
Oh, okay.
I've heard this is one of his best, and I do want to check it out. Those samurai type films are tough, though.
Yeah, it's a reimagining of Shakespeare's King Lear.
Yeah, which is kind of what Kurosawa did a lot of, is those old Shakespeare films.
I bought Seven Samurai. Like, that was one of the first Criterions I bought. It's still in the wrapping.
That was one of the first ones I got too, and I remember not loving it. I think I gave it like 3.5.
3.5.
Yeah.
It's so fucking long, man.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
For that type of movie.
But this one, I don't know. Maybe because it's not black and white, it's shot really well. Maybe it'll help. But yeah, that's Kurosawa hasn't really done it for me too much.
I'm sorry, but putting that above Apocalypse Now, whatever.
Yeah, well,
what do I know? I haven't seen it, you know, but...
Well, I think it's criminal what number four is, and number four is Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, my God. That should be, like, one or two. Yeah, man.
Probably Apocalypse Now and Saving Private Ryan should be one and two.
Yeah, those would have been my top two picks.
I mean, not that it matters...
One of your favorites, huh?
Not that it matters, but I think this may be my favorite movie.
Well, that's a damn good pick.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I have the better Tom Hanks movie as my number one, but...
Yeah, very true. I mean...
You're on the right path, at least.
There's just... War movies, they didn't do anything near what this movie did. Right. That whole 20, 30-minute sequence at the very beginning just kind of hits you, and you're kind of sobered the rest of the way.
Man.
There's nothing like
fucking
it.
Fucking so good, dude.
And this is like one of the... This is one of those films I remember watching super young. Like, one of the first probably R-rated movies or just, like, graphic movies I ever watched. And
yeah, I vividly remember seeing that that opening beat shot many times.
Yeah. And I just... Movies like this are hard to put into words because what can you say that hasn't been said before?
Right,
but
right.
There's just so much... fantastic stuff about this movie. The battles, I mean, it's got a stellar cast, and Spielberg was top notch around this time. Like, 90s was an incredible time for him.
Yeah, it was fucking 1998, man. That movie's kind of old already.
Oh yeah.
I actually had the privilege of seeing that in the theater last year. Never saw it on the big screen.
Oh,
that was awesome.
It's something else.
That's one of those theater movies for sure.
I saw it in theaters as well a few years back, and I know you always complain about people getting up and pissing, but I had to piss from the very beginning, and I sat before the movie starts. I sat through the whole thing, and I felt like my bladder was going to explode. And I'd already seen it countless times, but I just could not get away.
If you had to piss before the movie starts, why wouldn't you have gone?
Because I didn't have to piss before the movie started.
You just said as soon as it started, I had to go.
Yeah, not before it started.
Well,
don't ask me.
Makes no sense to me. You have no control over your bodily functions.
Well, 1 minute, you don't have to pee, and then a few minutes later, your body tells you, well, it's time to pee. You know, it's not just like...
Fucking go drink some water beforehand and go to the bathroom.
God, shut up, loser.
I always empty my system out before the film.
Oh my God, you're so much better than everybody because you piss before.
What do you pay for? Do you pay to watch the movie or to take 5 bathroom breaks?
I pay to be entertained, and if I don't want to sit there in pain the whole time, I'll go piss.
Mental illness on your part, not mine.
I think it's mentally ill that you care so much.
Yeah, my girlfriend says the same thing. She thinks I've got issues.
Well, I will say that the Pee-wee thing was a little out of control.
That's totally different. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
That was out of control. But yeah, 4, Saving Private Ryan. You know what? It's especially disturbing because number 3 is The Hurt Locker.
Oh.
Which is probably not a bad movie. I've seen it. Kind of forgot about it. But number 3 of all time? Is it because Catherine Bigelow is the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Director? Is that why?
I remember, like, I think I've seen this.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have or not, but it didn't do much for me.
It's not bad. I just think it's a little bit overrated.
Yeah, this list sucks for that reason alone. That should have been... I can't believe they're putting this above fucking Apocalypse Now and Saving Private. Come on.
I don't think you're going to like number two, though.
What is it?
Number two, The Thin Red Line.
Oh, ew. I fucking forgot about that movie. I knew it was going to be on here.
Have you seen it?
Bought the Criterion, sold it.
Did you watch it?
Didn't even open it up.
God, you are mentally ill.
Yeah. I hate Terrence Malick.
Well,
hate him.
I think you might appreciate this one.
You know?
It's got the surrealness of his movies, but not super annoying, set during war. So it's kind of that juxtaposition.
Right. I'm sure it's fine.
It's got a stellar cast. And a ton of people that were cut out of it, too.
Sean Penn is honestly not my favorite, either.
Well...
Like, I love
Fast Times. Which is weird, because you don't, I was going to say, you don't shut up about Spicoli.
Well, Spicoli's a great character.
And he's a burnout.
Pretty good. Yeah, but he's iconic. Like, he's a fucking memorable, great character. Mystic River's pretty good, but goddamn, I don't remember fucking Sean Penn and anything else. Except that dumbass scene when he's wandering around the Grand Canyon in a suit.
He's trying to find himself, just like you need to.
He's okay.
Who do you want to become, Mason? What are you gonna do, Mason? Or what do you want to be, Mason?
I can't talk about this because I haven't seen it. So,
it's really good. Number two of all time. I don't know.
Yikes!
But number one on the list of Esquire's best war films, The Deer Hunter.
Now, I haven't seen this.
You want me to bring it for you tomorrow?
You have this one?
I do.
Okay, out of all of them that you talked about, let me borrow this one first. Because I've always wanted to watch this.
This is another one that, like, Come and See is very disturbing. It's got a weird vibe to it.
Right, right.
And the Russian roulette scenes, those are, those are big-time scenes in not only war movies, but just movies in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. I remember, like, my dad watching it when I was younger, you know?
Yeah.
But I have not seen the entire film.
It's, I mean, maybe one of the better four actors in a single movie with De Niro, Walken, Cazale, and Streep. I mean,
that's quite the lineup.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, disturbing movie. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. You know, not
3 hours.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to let things breathe. Like your shitter.
I know. I guess I can work The Deer Hunter in between. It's kind of a funny story and The Final Girls.
Ugh, God, 5 stars for It's Kind of a Funny Story?
Dude, that movie's a masterpiece.
It's kind of a stupid rating.
The movie's a masterpiece.
Why is it a masterpiece?
I don't know why. I love the film.
Okay.
I've seen it several times. I watch it every year at least once.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I'll allow it.
Maybe because I'm depressed.
It could be. It could be.
I don't know.
Ooh. Breaking news. 3 more titles will be added to NES, SNES. Super NES, Donkey Kong Country.
Yes.
Natsumi Championship Wrestling.
Don't care.
With that Donkey Kong Country, that was the big one.
It's all you need to know. Yeah. Yeah, you got to play that shit.
I definitely will. I really enjoyed...
Yeah, that fucking game kicks ass, man.
Gonna come out on 7/15, so.
Right on.
I really enjoyed Tropical Freeze, so. Probably.
Where did you see that?
Twitter. But it's probably all over now.
Nope, I'm not seeing it anywhere.
Well, Nintendo of America tweeted it out 20 minutes ago, so I'm surprised.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that's a good way to end this podcast, I'd say. I don't think we really need to talk about Blu-rays because, you know, we're already almost an hour and a half into this.
No, this is a long episode. I think this is one of our better, where we take a topic and we actually talk about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this and make sure you let us know what your favorite war films are.
Yeah, let us know for sure. Anything else, buddy?
Earn this.
I need to earn it. Here and... not watch a war movie.
I think I'm going to go ahead and watch Garden State.
There you go. Do that.
And then I won't. I'll just put in Saving Private Ryan again.
Can't wait to see your 2-star rating.
No, no, no. It's already a 4. You think it's going to go down 2 stars?
Better go up.
Well, I can't just make it happen.
I got to turn my air on. It's hot in here.
Let's end this.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And as always, go fuck yourselves.